KSJE and the Farmington Public Library present Quintos, Hannah, and Tales.
This is Lisa Vest from the Farmington Public Library, and today for Quintos, I'm going to be reading from Shakespeare's storybook, Folk Tales That Inspired the Bard, retold by Patrick Ryan. The first tale I will be reading is called The Devil's Bet. There was a widow who had a daughter named Nora. Nora was beautiful, but very grumpy and terribly lazy. She never lifted a finger to help, and never had a kind word. Spoiled and quarrelsome, Nora always had her own way. In the forest nearby lived a woodsman called Jamie. He had a comfortable, pretty cottage and wanted someone to share it with. There was just one problem. In the spring, by his home, dwelled the Nicky Nicky Nye, a wicked water devil. This did not worry Jamie, for the devil only came out at night. And why should it worry his wife-to-be? What bother is a demon if a woodsman and his wife each have a good, strong spirit? Jamie saddled his donkey and went in search of a wife, a sparky young woman he could fall in love with. He hadn't gone far when he came upon the widow's daughter. Nora was sitting by the river, dirty laundry scattered all about her. Her mother had sent her to do the washing. Instead, she sat and daydreamed while the clothes drifted in the tide. Jamie asked a passing farmer, "Who is that beauty, and has she a sweetheart?" "That's Nora," laughed the farmer. "Nasty Nora, they call her. No one could ever love her."
"I could," declared the woodsman, "with all my heart."
"Well, good luck," the farmer replied. "She's so contrary, she gives her poor mother nothing but grief. The widow tries to keep things tidy, but Nora always makes a mess."
"All the more reason to marry me," smiled Jamie. "She can come to live in my pretty cottage, tidy or messy, I don't mind." He began to move away.
"Hang on, I've more to tell you," continued the farmer. "Her mother sent Nora to buy food for supper, and the selfish girl spent the money on ribbons for her hair."
"So, a woman who needs little to eat," laughed Jamie. "All the better for me, and what pretty hair to tie up with ribbons." So saying, he went up to Nora and spoke ever so politely. "Pretty maiden, your fine clothes will soon be washed away in the tide. Permit me to help fetch them back."
"Do what you like," sniffed Nora.
"Very well," laughed Jamie. "I'll be glad to help." With that, he picked Nora up, which she liked very much, for he was a strong, handsome fellow. Then he threw her in the river, which she didn't like at all. "There you go," he cried. "You'll catch the clothes easily enough, now that you're in the water." Spluttering and swearing, gasping and moaning, Nora gathered up the garments and stomped back to the bank.
"And you needn't mind getting wet," Jamie told her. "The water will wash away all your grumpiness."
Cursing, she threw the wet things in Jamie's face. "Whoa, Nora," cried Jamie. "Is that how to treat your sweetheart?"
"What sweetheart?" shrieked Nora. "I'll never be sweet to you."
"Oh, you will," Jamie promised. "You and I are getting married today." With that, he took Nora by the arm and escorted her to her mother. The widow looked so tired and sad that Jamie resolved to marry Nora at once. Then the mother would be able to live in peace and perhaps learn to smile again. Jamie sat down and told them of his cottage in the wood and the garden all around with songbirds singing and bees humming. It all sounded so lovely, for he made no mention of the water devil lurking in the well. Nora agreed that she was tired of living with her mother. She fancied life in a pretty cottage of her own, especially with a handsome husband like Jamie with his curly black hair. True, he had played a trick on her, but couldn't she play tricks too? They might be well matched. So they went to the church to get married. Jamie and the widow were in such a hurry, Nora had no time to change out of her wet clothes. She had no time to celebrate either, for Jamie whisked her away straight after the wedding.
"We must hurry and get back before dark," Jamie explained as they trotted along on the donkey into the thick, dark wood. He wanted to be indoors before the demon showed itself.
"This donkey's too slow, too lumpy, too bumpy to move quickly," grumbled Nora. "Why don't you beat him with your stick?"
"Beat my dear donkey?" exclaimed Jamie.
No, 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 that would never do.
Why not? Asked Nora. It would make him go faster.
Jamie only replied, I have found, my dear, that soft words and a gentle touch win more than harsh words and mean tricks. As night fell, they came to the pretty cottage. Jamie's dog rushed out to greet them, barking and jumping for joy and splattering them with mud from head to toe.
The dirty beast! Screamed Nora. That dog's too loud! His paws are too muddy! His tongue's too wet! Why don't you beat him with your stick?
Beat my dear doggie! Exclaimed Jamie. No, no, no! That would never do.
Why not? Asked Nora. It would make him behave!
But Jamie only replied, I have found, my dear, that soft words and a gentle touch win more than harsh words and mean tricks. Then he opened the door of the cottage and in they went. Nora, dear darling, I'm so thirsty, said Jamie as they stepped inside. Please make us a pot of tea while I fetch more wood for the fire.
I'm not your servant, snapped Nora, her eyes blazing, and here's to your pot of tea.
With these angry words, she smashed the china teapot on the floor, adding cheekily,
Where do soft words and gentle touch get you now?
I suppose I deserved that for dropping you in the river, said Jamie. But your harsh words and mean tricks have hurt you as much as me. Without a teapot, there'll be no tea for either of us. Before Nora could reply, there was a rumble of laughter from the well. Up out of the water jumped the demon, and through the window popped the head of Nicky Nicky Nye.
Ho, 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 he laughed. Jamie, who have you there?
My wife, Nora, Jamie answered proudly.
A wife, roared the devil. She'll not stay long, not with me about.
Who says I'll not stay? Shouted Nora.
I do, snapped the demon. The Nicky Nicky Nye. You'll not last a week with me around.
I bet I will, snarled Nora, gritting her teeth. No one chases me away.
Right, said the Nicky Nicky Nye. The bet's on. I'll bet all the gold and silver hidden in my well. I can drive you away before the week is out.
Done, said Nora. But it's you who will be going.
We'll see, grinned the water devil. And if you lose the bet, I'll gobble you up as you try to run away.
Then the Nicky Nicky Nye sank back into the well, and Jamie's smiling face turned glum.
Oh, dear, dear, he said. Nora, what have you done? I don't want the Nicky Nicky Nye to gobble you up.
He won't, said Nora determinedly. I'll see to him.
Just remember, begged her husband, soft words and a gentle touch win more than harsh words and mean tricks. Between Nora and the demon, it was war. The water devil only came out at night, but Nora couldn't escape him. Every time she entered the garden, the Nicky Nicky Nye would throw at her the foulest stuff from the nearby ponds and streams. Scum and duckweed, mudge and sludge. Dripping with slime, Nora would try to get back at him by dumping the dirty dishwater into the well, or emptying the chamber pot onto the demon's head, but he only spat it back in her face. It went on like this each day until, finally, Nora could bear it no more. She no longer cared for the pretty cottage or even her handsome black-haired husband. She just wanted to run away, then remembered that, if she did, the Nicky Nicky Nye would gobble her up. Harsh words and mean tricks won't win, Jamie reminded her. Soft words and a gentle touch are what do the job best. The last night had arrived and Nora was all ready to flee. But Jamie's advice came back to her and at last gave her an idea. She packed a basket of food, as if ready to leave, then came to stand by the well.
Ha, ha, laughed the demon when he saw her. I've won the bet. You're running away. Get ready to be gobbled up.
You're quite wrong, my darling little demon, Nora smiled. I'm not running away. It's such a lovely day. I thought I'd go for a stroll in the garden.
You're mad, said the water devil. It's the middle of the night.
No, disagreed Nora. Just look at the bright, blinding sun.
That's the moon, roared the devil.
No, it's the sun, grinned Nora, and I'm so worried to see you out and about in the daylight.
It's not daylight, shouted the water devil. It's moonlight.
Nora ignored him.
and you never come out in the day, only in the night. I fear you may soon shrivel up."
"I don't need your concern," grumbled the Nicky Nicky Nye.
"So I made you some sweet, refreshing lemonade," said Nora as she opened the basket and brought out a bottle.
"I hate lemonade," shouted the devil. "Leave me alone."
But Nora would not let the demon be. She smothered him with kindness. She charmed him with soft words and plied him with lemonade and cakes, cookies and sweets. The Nicky Nicky Nye could not bear it.
"I think I'm going to be sick," he cried.
"There, there," Nora soothed. "As my husband says, a soft word and a gentle touch will take care of that." And she gave Nicky Nicky Nye a pat on the head. The monster was so overcome by all this kindness, he truly could not bear it. He huffed and puffed and blew himself up bigger and bigger and bigger until he burst. And that was the end of the water demon. Never again did he bother the woodsman and his wife. Deep down at the bottom of the well, Jamie and Nora found the Nicky Nicky Nye's hoard of gold and silver, which, of course, they kept for themselves. Nora had won the devil's bet, after all. From that time on, she and Jamie tried to get by as best they could, with soft words and a gentle touch. And that story was The Devil's Bet. The next story I'm going to read is called Snowdrop. In a time before yours or mine, there was a queen who had a daughter. She called her Snowdrop, for the girl was as beautiful as the flowers of spring. The queen cared for Snowdrop more than anything in the world. Because of this, she neglected her duties and lost the kingdom to a man who was both clever and wicked. He banished the queen and made himself king, but he kept Snowdrop as a slave to do all the work in the palace. This new king was hard and cruel. His only joy was his son, a merry lad named Will. The king wished to raise his boy to be just like him. But Will was not like his father and cared nothing about ruling the kingdom. So, in spite of everything, Snowdrop and Will became the best of playmates and loved each other dearly. The people in the kingdom were not happy with their harsh new ruler. They looked at Snowdrop and saw her goodness. They talked of how sweet and fair she was. They said the former princess should one day be their ruler, not Will, and certainly not his wicked father. The king heard this and was furious. His hatred for Snowdrop grew until at last he couldn't bear the sight of her. In secret, the king ordered his most trusted servant to take Snowdrop to the forest and kill her. Snowdrop overheard this plan, but she wasn't frightened. That night, she packed a few things, kissed her playmate goodbye, and ran into the forest to seek her own way in life. She wandered around the forest until she was so tired and hungry she could go no farther. It was then that she stumbled upon a cave. Stepping inside, she found that the cave was like the finest palace, full of sparkling treasure. "This is some robber's den," Snowdrop cried. "I've got to get out of here." Just as she was about to leave, she noticed a table in the middle of the cave, all laid out with the robber's supper. The table was piled high with good things, cakes, pastries, and all kinds of sweets. Snowdrop was so famished she stopped to take a bite from each dish and a sip from each goblet. She made ready to leave once again, but it was too late. Clomp, clomp, came the sound of the robber's feet. They were returning for their supper. Quick as a flash, Snowdrop jumped into a cupboard and closed the door behind her. The three robbers, all brothers, saw at once someone had taken their food. Angrily, they looked for this thief who had dared to rob them. Then, the youngest discovered Snowdrop, shaking with fear in the cupboard. "Brothers, I've found the thief. Not a bad catch, too," he bragged. "Grind his bones, boil his blood, mash his flesh," ordered the older two robbers. But when they saw Snowdrop looking so sweet and gentle, they knew they couldn't harm her. Instead, they let her stay with them, promising to love and protect her as they would one another. This was how Snowdrop became one of the robbers. She dressed as a man and helped them in their work.
They stole from the rich and used the money to help the weak and poor who suffered under the cruel king. One day, Snowdrop met up with her old playmate Will. It came about this way. Will was so lonely, he wandered into the woods each day, hoping to find Snowdrop. He even wrote poems in her honor and hung them on every tree for her to find them. By following these love letters, Snowdrop finally tracked down Will. Will didn't recognize her at first. When he did, he hugged her close and begged her to return with him to the palace. Snowdrop had to refuse. "Please don't be sad," she said. "We found each other again, and I'll see you every day as long as you promise to stop writing those silly poems and hanging them on the trees. A robber can't have poetry written about her." Will promised. They met each day in a grove of apple trees and were wonderfully happy once again. The king noticed his son's changed mood. He saw how happy Will was whenever he returned from the forest and grew suspicious. So one day he followed his son to the apple grove where he saw Will meeting Snowdrop. Seeing that the girl was still alive, his hatred grew stronger than ever, and he resolved to get rid of Snowdrop once and for all. Not long after that, the king disguised himself as a peddler woman. With a basket full of delights and dainties, he made his way into the forest until he came to the robber's cave. He knocked briskly upon the door of the cave, and Snowdrop answered.
"Good day, old woman," said Snowdrop. She did not recognize the king.
"Good day to you, my darling," croaked the wicked king. "Would you like to buy some trinkets from my basket?"
Now the basket was full of baubles and laces and ribbons that caught the eye. One necklace shone brighter than all the rest, and it so pleased Snowdrop that she bought it at once. The king offered to fasten it around the girl's neck, pulling the necklace so tight it strangled Snowdrop and she fell to the ground. The evil king ran off, leaving her to die. But Snowdrop's robber brothers returned to find her, and they loosened the necklace. They washed her hands and rubbed her face with vinegar and sugar water. Slowly, the color came back to her cheeks and she opened her eyes.
"Never, ever open that door when you are here alone," the robbers made her promise.
Later, when the king followed Will to the apple grove, he saw his trick had been of no use. But his wickedness was such that he could not give up trying to destroy the girl. This time, he made himself up as a flower seller, and, with the basket of flowers, he went back to the cave in the woods. The king knocked and talked sweetly, but Snowdrop wouldn't let him in, nor would she come out. So he left a bunch of poisoned flowers at the door, saying they were a gift to show he meant no harm. When the robbers returned, Snowdrop fetched the flowers and threw them straight on the fire. A terrible stink of poisonous fumes arose with the smoke.
"Never again," Snowdrop vowed, "do I speak to any old peddler woman. I'm sure they've been sent by the king to destroy me."
The second old peddler woman, the king that is, soon learned that Snowdrop still lived. He knew that Snowdrop and Will continued to meet, and they loved each other more than ever. So he filled a basket with magic poisoned apples and malignant pears. These he took to the grove where Will and Snowdrop met each day. He dropped the poisoned apples and pears all around that orchard. Then the king hid behind a tree to be sure his plan worked, and so he could see that Snowdrop was destroyed. Soon Snowdrop came and waited for her friend. Seeing the apples lying on the ground so pretty and red, she couldn't resist them. She picked up an apple, took one bite, and fell down dead. With vicious glee, the king returned to the palace. It was the robbers who found Snowdrop. They wept and cried, but this time they could not awaken her. So they fashioned a glass coffin for her to rest in. So beautiful was she, even in death, they could not bear to place her under the ground. Instead, they captured a wild horse and strapped the coffin to its back. They let the horse go, to wander through the land carrying Snowdrop in her glass coffin so that all could gaze upon her beauty. When Will came back to the apple grove, Snowdrop was not there. He waited, but she did not come. Again, his heart was broken from loneliness. He wandered for many days looking for Snowdrop. Then, at last, he returned to the palace.
Word soon spread about the mysterious horse that carried a beautiful maiden sleeping in a glass box. Many tried to catch a glimpse of this strange sight. Some feared it was a ghost. Others claimed it was fairy magic. But when the king heard the news, he only smiled, delighted that at last he had killed poor Snowdrop. Then one day the wild horse wandered into the palace grounds. The guards and all the lords and ladies of the court stood back and gaped in amazement. They had heard of the strange vision, of the sleeping maiden in a glass coffin on a wild horse, but they had not believed it. They were even more surprised when the king's son ran to the horse and grabbed hold of the coffin. Will had recognized his playmate. Weeping, he tried to loosen the coffin so as to take her from the horse and hold her in his arms. The king saw that his son still loved the girl. In a rage, he dashed out and pushed the coffin from Will's hands. The glass case shattered upon the ground, and, as it fell, it so jolted Snowdrop that the piece of poisoned apple fell from her mouth. She awoke from death as though awakening from a long sleep. Snowdrop told the astonished courtiers all that had happened since she had left the palace. The robbers were sent for, and they declared that Snowdrop had spoken truly. Will ordered that the king be punished. The robbers placed magic shoes on the king's feet, and in these he danced and danced and could not stop dancing. He danced away, never to be seen again. Meanwhile, Snowdrop and Will were married. Together, as queen and king, they ruled the land wisely and well. The banished queen returned to live with them in her old age, and the three robbers gave up their wild ways to live in the palace as Snowdrop's brothers, ready to offer help and advice whenever she needed it. As the youngest robber might have said, "And that was good, and it wasn't bad, was it?" This is Lisa Vest. I am from the Farmington Public Library, and I read two selections from the book Shakespeare's Storybook, Folk Tales That Inspired the Bard, retold by Patrick Ryan. Please visit our website at www.infoway.org and check out our events calendar to see our upcoming programs.
This has been Quintos Hana and Tales, presented by the Farmington Public Library and KSJE 90.9 FM.